Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn. Hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
So what the disease causes is severe pain in my arms and legs, like 9 out of 10 pain. And then I lost all my strength. So as my disease progressed, I started to lose my ability to balance myself. So I had to start walking with a cane. I'm 47. I should not be retired and I should not be walking with a cane. So I got on YouTube, put in carnivore, and you came up. It was your 9-month check-in. We started the carnivore diet, and within 2 weeks, my pain was almost gone.
My pain levels are almost non-existent, and I was living at a 9 all the time. You have changed my life. You are changing lives. Like, I owe you my walking.
It doesn't matter what autoimmune disease you have. It can be healed. Like, there is hope. I'm living proof. I'm healing myself. Food is my medicine. Everything that goes in my mouth is healing my body. For the first time in my entire life, I want to be right here, right now.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the Power of a Proper Human Diet. Got my shirt on. And today I am thankful, grateful, blessed to have Renee on the channel. Welcome, Renee. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you. I have been looking forward to chatting with you. Renee is actually part of our community membership site, healinghumanity.life. And I think that was the first time we talked in person, was on one of our Zoom calls. And you have a really interesting carnivore story. So I was hoping to learn more about your story, share it with the audience. My ultimate goal with all of this is to just inspire other people, help other people that may find some inspiration in Renee's story. So maybe if we could start out, Renee, could you tell us maybe a little bit about yourself and maybe some of your former health issues that eventually led you to a carnivore diet?
Sure. So I am, first off, I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for 21 years. Unfortunately, my medical situation made me just have to medically retire. But I was the director of patient care at the hospital I came from. In 2010, was diagnosed with idiopathic gastroparesis. No reason there. I spent almost 2 years not being able to keep any food down. And finally got that a little bit under control. And then in 2019, in November, I started becoming paralyzed and I couldn't move and was diagnosed. It took a couple months to get a diagnosis. So I was diagnosed with an autoimmune neuropathy called chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy. To make that short and sweet, it's like MS, but instead of it hitting my brain, it hits my arms and legs. So I'm losing the myelin sheaths in my nerves and my arms and legs. So unfortunately, I was diagnosed about the same time COVID was diagnosed.
Wow.
So I worked 80 hours a week that whole first year of my diagnosis because I was part of our incident command team for COVID at our hospital. But I ended up doing high dose IVIG treatment. It's not as awful as chemo, but it makes you feel pretty crummy. I did that and I ended up having to have it twice before I started seeing changes. So what the disease causes is severe pain in my arms and legs. Like 9 out of 10 pain most of the time. People think neuropathy is just numbness, but neuropathy is so not numbness. It's tingling, it's burning, it's pain, it's aching, it's all of the above. And then I lost all my strength. So as my disease progressed, I started to lose my ability to balance myself. So I had to start walking with a cane. I'm 47. I should not be retired and I should not be walking with a cane. So I ended up not responding to IVIG. So they put me on rituximab, which is a biological chemotherapy agent. It was originally made to treat people with lymphoma. So it goes in, it kills all the B cells in the body. And the B cells are what is attacking my, that's the part of my immune system that's attacking myself, my nerves. Unfortunately, that also means you lose your immune system. So this year in January, my son graduated from boot camp and we flew to Texas and I came home with COVID. And while we were in Texas, I got a stomach bug. So it was like one after another. And then we flew to California to see him in March and I came home with the flu and pneumonia. And I was down for another month. So when we came home from seeing him, I was actually, it was from his boot camp. Because when I went and saw him in California, I had just started carnivore. So when we went, when I got home and I had COVID, I couldn't go to the hospital. I couldn't work. My husband says, please, please just look at the carnivore stuff. He's been nagging me. Him and my son have been nagging me for, I don't know how long. And I was like, absolutely not. I just can't do it. Like the nurse in me, you can't just eat meat. Like you can't. And he's like, you have a week that you can't do anything but lay on the couch, just watch videos. So I'm like, all right, whatever. So I thought I'd get him off my back. So I got on YouTube, put in carnivore, and you came up. It was, I think, your nine month check-in. And I was like, And then, so I'm like, okay, this crazy guy did really well. Let's see it. And I love you, Carrie. But you're like your enthusiasm and it just comes out and it bleeds out and it's amazing. So I say crazy in the good way. I watched Michaela Peterson next. I watched her TED talk that she gave on her disease. And I was so now the nurse in me is saying, well, if someone that has rheumatoid arthritis can heal themselves, then there's no reason why I can't heal myself. Text my husband and I said, you need to tell me if you really want to be a carnivore, because if I go any further down this rabbit hole, we're not eating anything but meat ever again. And he was like, no, let's go for it. So I spent the entire time, the 2 weeks I was on quarantine for my COVID because I was really sick. Unfortunately, I get totally sick because of my immune system. I just watched YouTube videos on carnivore. Every single That was how I got to know Dr. Chafee and Dr. Baker and Dr. Barry and you and Michaela and all these people and Bella. All these people became my friends. You guys didn't know it, but you became my friends. You became my saviors. So we started the carnivore diet, and within 2 weeks, my pain was almost gone. I was at a 9, and I was smoking pot, and I was doing everything that I could do to try to touch my pain, and nothing touched it. I was on gabapentin. I wish I had my basket. I was on gabapentin and nortriptyline and duloxetine, and none of it was touching my pain. And I maxed out. Like I was at, I was at the max of all of those. So that was pretty awesome. But it was the other things that came afterwards. I mean, so I don't use my cane anymore. Very, very seldom do I feel like I need it. And my pain is very much controlled. My strength has not come back quite yet, but it's on its way. I can do more and more and more. We just moved and I spent the last 2 weeks busting butt, unpacking and getting things done. And I worked 12 hours a day getting that stuff done and didn't stop. I couldn't have done that 6 months ago. So that's kind of short and sweet. I wasn't short, but that's kind of where I'm at. With my journey, I eat mostly pemmican, a high fat concentration of pemmican most during the day. And then I eat a ribeye at night and, have a little bit of, heavy whipping cream in my coffee. I did give up coffee. I did do lion diet for the first part. So for the first couple of months, I was strict lion diet. And then I started to add a little bit back in. All I've been able to add back in is bacon and a little bit of shrimp every once in a while and my coffee. So pretty much I'm still lion for the most part. And I do have a lot of butter. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Wow. First of all, like going back, when you're starting to become paralyzed, obviously physically that's horrible, but mentally, like, what are you thinking?
I honestly, let me tell you what I thought at that moment. For the first time in my entire life, I was not smoking. I was not drinking. I was working out 6 days a week and I was a vegan. And what I thought was, well, what the hell? Like, I am doing everything right and I get sick. And unfortunately I started smoking again, started drinking again. And I did not stay vegan because my kids had, my husband got really, really sick at the same time I got paralyzed. And we think that he had COVID before it was actually said that it was in the, we really had to have been COVID. So we couldn't cook for ourselves. So my kids had to cook and my kids, poor kids were like 10 and 11 or 11 and 12. I don't remember how old they were. Maybe they were a little bit older than that. So I was like, well, they can't cook vegan for me. So we might as well start eating meat again. So we went back to the American Standard Diet. Mostly it was a lot of frozen stuff from Costco because that was the easy stuff for the kids to be able to do. But mentally, you know, I didn't have time to process it and I didn't have time to deal with it because we immediately went into a COVID response at the hospital. So I'd never really got to deal with it. I always felt if they hadn't put me on duloxetine and nortriptyline, which are they use for the nerve pain, but they're antidepressants, right? So, and gabapentin is also a mood stabilizer. So I'm on three mood stabilizers. So I really, truly, through that entire first couple of years, said that if I hadn't been on those mood stabilizers, I would have curled up in a ball and died. Mm. And if I hadn't been working 8 hours a week, you know, that I really, truly, I had a pit bull. His name was Mana, and he laid on my lap for the entire first couple of years of my illness when I was on the couch. Mm. And he never left me. He's left us since. But, you know, I wish that I had known and when I had gotten diagnosed with gastroparesis, because my gastroparesis is gone now, too.
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members only videos. We do members only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
Like, I don't ever have any pain. I don't have any problem digesting food. I have none of those issues anymore. So when I got diagnosed with gastroparesis, my gastroenterologist said, okay, so what you need to do is you need to eat everything white. White bread, easy to process, starchy foods, ice cream, anything that's white. That's what you eat because that's what's going to go through your stomach the fastest. And that is what, that was the only advice that I got when I got diagnosed with gastroparesis.
Wow.
So for years I thought, well, I can't process meat. Like, you know, that's what he said. And so meat is the problem. And I'm going to tell you, meat is not the problem. I never get bloated anymore. I never have stomach pain anymore. But I do want to tell you the one really awesome thing that came from this whole journey that I was not expecting. Within the first couple of months, I came off duloxetine, I came off nortriptyline. And so those two antidepressants were off the table because I didn't need them anymore for the pain. But I'm scared to death to fly, like absolutely scared to death. I like take 2 milligrams of Xanax to get on a plane. And we were flying back and forth to buy our house in Arizona. So we had a couple of trips. I got to the point where I wasn't scared to fly anymore. Like I had no anxiety when I got on a plane, no anxiety attack. My heart did not go crazy. I did not have a panic attack. I did not take any medication. I'm taking nothing now to get on a plane. Just me. And my meat sticks and my pemmican. but I mean, so my depression, I have had several times in my life where I've been completely suicidal, not able to pull myself out of that, without medication. And, that started when I was the first time was when I was about 14. For the first time in my life, have no depression, absolutely zero depression. Like I have a little anxiety still. I can tell when my fat intake isn't as high as it needs to be because I get a little anxious. So I know what is keeping the anxiety at bay, and that's the fat. But I didn't expect that. I mean, you said that yours got all better, but that's not, my goal was to walk and to get my pain levels. I didn't know that my depression and anxiety was going to go away. I had OCD. I was diagnosed with all this when I was a teen. Unfortunately, I have a teenage son. He's a freshman in college right now, but he has severe OCD and anxiety. So I'm pushing him to eat only meat, but he is living on a campus and he eats whatever is available for him. But I had no idea.
Mm. That's incredible. That makes me so happy too, because so many of the things you said resonate with me. I had a horrible fear of flying as well. Partially, I blame it on my wife, Jen, because she just won't fly anywhere. And anytime I fly, she's like, call me as soon as you land. Like, okay. You know, like if the plane crashes, you're going to hear it on the news or something like that. So I'm supposed to call. So the whole time I'm like, I've even told her, I'm like, because I've been flying so much recently for the documentary stuff. I'm like, you're going to manifest this plane to crash or something if you keep talking like this. But so for those reasons, and like I always had a little bit of the anxiety too, and just similar to you, Renee, none whatsoever anymore. It's really interesting too. And I've noticed as well with the fat intake, like I eat a whole bunch of fat and I'm like, I'm the most calm, zen, worry-free person in the world. That's probably how all people would be. If they were just putting the right fuel in the tank sort of thing. But that's so interesting. So what about when you started healing, like your mobility started to improve? Like, can you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah. So I never could quite figure out why I was falling. Like as my illness progressed, I didn't know whether it was the neuropathy in my foot that was so bad that I couldn't feel and I didn't have balance, but people with this disease have balance issues. So I don't know what it was for sure. But I know that without my cane, I tended to veer to the left and I would fall. Like I was having falls. And it was really hard for me the first time I had to take my cane to work. I am the person that's leading this amazing group of nurses at a hospital, and I shouldn't be the one that has a weakness, right? It's kind of showing your weakness. So the cane was a really hard thing for me to even start using, and I needed it. I had to have it. So I started to notice, like, I don't use my cane a lot at home because we lived in a smaller house where I could kind of do the toddler thing and kind of surf the furniture if I needed to. Like I was never out in the complete open where if I was going to fall, I would, you know, there's something that I could catch myself on. So at home, I never used it very seldom. So what I noticed, though, was walking in the house, I was doing better and better, and I wasn't having issues. So I started to explore that and stopped and, you know, went places outside of home and didn't use my cane and realized that I was doing okay. And I could, you know, so putting that cane away, I think it's out in my car right now because I used it at the airport last. You know, when we're going someplace where people don't pay attention to other people and you can get tousled and jostled about, I do tend to use it still just because I'm afraid somebody is going to knock me and I'm not going to be able to recover my balance. But being able to walk without it again is amazing. I mean, I don't even know. It's hard when somebody doesn't understand that. But my goal is for people to know that it doesn't matter what autoimmune disease you have, it can be healed. Like there is hope. I'm living proof. I don't know, like that. So that is my goal in life. I'm going to emulate Carrie. And I'm going to spread the word. I went back to school and I'm in a program right now to become a board certified nurse coach. And I'm also doing another certification in functional medicine. I think that there is a place in this world. I'm not ready to retire and I'm not ready for my life to be done just because I got this disease and I had to retire from my first job, which was actually my second career because I was in the military first. So my third career will be healing people. You know, I get really tired as a nurse. All we do is throw medication at people anymore. There's no healing in nursing. We just say, you know, here's medication the doctor ordered and this one's going to make you feel crappy. So here's this one because that's going to help that one. And then, and then you pile these meds on and all they need to do is change their lifestyle and change their diet. I mean, it's easy. To me, it's easy. And I came to carnivore in desperation. So, you know, the question that you asked how I felt when I first got diagnosed, the thing that goes through your mind over and over again is why me? Why me? I mean, really, truly, as human beings, we ask, why is this happening to me? And I came to become a spiritual person during the last 5 years of this illness. And part of that is there's nothing that happens in the universe that doesn't have a reason and it doesn't have a purpose. And if the universe doesn't give you that reason or purpose, you find that reason or purpose yourself. So I truly believe that my purpose is now going to be to heal other people. It's easy. To me, it's so easy. To other people, they're like, oh my gosh, you just eat meat. Like people are... There are two types of people. There's one type of people that are like, oh my gosh, that is so amazing. I can't believe you're healing yourself. You know, you go for it. And, you know, and then there's the other part that's like, oh, you're killing yourself because you're eating red meat all the time. And right. how can you eat like that? And I always think back to, you know, things that Dr. Baker has said about, you know, people don't ever look at you when you're eating ultra processed food and tell you that you're killing yourself. But you are. I'm not killing myself. I'm healing myself. And so, my family, love you all. If you're watching, they have a hard time with this. They don't truly get it. It's hard to understand why somebody wants to just eat meat. Now, my mom is dying of scleroderma. She's in hospice. Scleroderma is another autoimmune disease. She is trying her hardest to eat just meat because she says, if you can do it, then maybe I can do it. And, you know, and the question is it too late? Like to try. And I was like, well, mom, it's never too late to try. Maybe it'll help your pain. You know, if anything else, if you can't reverse the damage that's been done, it is what it is, but maybe it'll stop the progression and maybe it'll heal the pain, you know, the pain alone. If you can get that pain to go away. People who have chronic pain, I don't think anybody who's never had chronic pain understands what chronic pain is like. I didn't. As a nurse, I treated a lot of people with chronic pain. I've been an oncology nurse. I've been a pediatric ICU nurse. I've been an ER nurse. I've done a lot of nursing and I've never truly understood chronic pain until I had it. So and I told, you know, early on in the in my carnivore journey, I told my husband, if I don't get any better than just my pain going away, like if that's the only thing that happens, I will stay carnivore for the rest of my life just to keep my pain away. I felt at that point when the pain got better at like 2 weeks, like, I mean, I was crazy fast into it. I was like, all right, this is great. Everything that came after that, the anxiety going away, the depression going away, my walking coming back, all of that was just like the icing on the cake. I was okay with just the pain.
Right. It's so amazing because I find that for a lot of people, myself included, you do this for one very specific reason, and then all of these other things happen. And then when you really start to think about it, you're like, wow, I'm just literally healing everything. Or am I healing everything? In reality, this is probably just how we were supposed to be eating in the first place, and we wouldn't have done the damage in the first place that needed to be healed, sort of thing. It's crazy. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot you said there that it's so much with people that just don't get it. That's one of the big frustrating things for me too, for my family that's watching as well. Like you said, Renee, it drives me insane when people say, well, I don't need to lose a few pounds, so I'm not going to do a carnivore diet. Like this is a temporary thing to drop 20 pounds. It drives me absolutely nuts. I'm like, give me all the weight back. I take twice as much weight back in a second for all of the healing that you'll experience. With your mom with the scleroderma. Is that right? It's scleroderma. Is that how you say it? Yeah. We interviewed a woman for a documentary that completely reversed that. Now, she was younger, and it's like you said, you never know. But I have been absolutely amazed time and time again doing this and interviewing people and learning more about how incredible the body is to heal when you just get the heck out of the way and put the proper fuel in. I have seen things that I would never believe healing. Like you, like being able to walk again. It's just, it's crazy. It's incredible. That's really cool that your mom's trying. I'm hopeful for her. So one of the questions I had for you was, if you go back to when you first started this, everyone always wonders this because they're thinking about doing this and they're scared about starting. What was it like just the first couple weeks? Were you like, did you get sick? Did you get keto flu? What sort of foods did you eat right away?
We kind of had been playing around with keto. And so I had been on a keto diet. Okay, so I use I'm going to call it diet because it wasn't my lifestyle. It really was just like a diet we were trying. And so I had already gone through the keto flu a few months before. So, but the first couple of weeks I had to do, I did a lot of Element, a lot of electrolyte replacement. In fact, for the first couple of months, TMI had uncontrollable diarrhea, like every time I ate, and it was just becoming fat adapted. I am a child of the 80s. We had margarine and we didn't eat real butter and we didn't have fat and everything was low fat. And I grew up that way. And so my normal day was a huge salad for lunch and then chicken and vegetables, like all low fat. My husband, on the other hand, has drenched everything in butter and he's always had better numbers than me when we go get our blood tests, and he eats bacon all the time. And so I used to get really mad at him about that. So I didn't really have the keto flu. The thing that did happen to me is I started at 143 pounds, and in 2 months I was down to 118, which was way too skinny. I just couldn't keep the food in. It would, you know, it was just going right through me because of the fat. It took me a long time to become fat adapted. I started taking lipase replacement, and that definitely helped. In fact, I don't get on the scale anymore. So I discovered I have an eating disorder that I never knew I had, because I fixate on the scale and I fixate on that. So I haven't been on the scale in like 4 months. I'm wearing the same clothes that I was wearing 4 months ago, and I'm happy with that. So I don't worry about my weight anymore. I feel for the first time, I went to the doctor yesterday to meet my new primary care doctor, who, by the way, is a carnivore. Very excited about that. I got very,
wow.
Yeah. He isn't functional medicine. He's in a regular practice, but he's a carnivore. So he did not look at me like I was crazy.
That's hard to find. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. He told me, on the other hand, my new neurologist that I get to meet in a couple of weeks, he was like, yeah, you're not going to get that from the neurologist. You're going to get your crazy. And I'm like, I'm okay with that. So when I first told my neurologist that I was going to do this diet, he looks at me and he says, you're a nurse. You know better than this. That is not a well-balanced diet. I do not support this.
Hmm.
And I was like, okay. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. I'm going to do it anyway. So once I started putting weight back on and I was able to keep my food in and I was able to regulate everything in my GI tract, I felt amazing. And I felt amazing even through all of that. I didn't care that I was, you know, having problems trying to figure out how to get. It's crazy that you don't realize how sick your bowels are until you make a huge change like this. And I think that part of it wasn't just the fat adaptation. I think it was all the vegetables I'd been eating and all the, just everything that needed to leave.
Right.
Oxalate dumping has been a serious issue. I still get crystals coming out of my eyes. And I'm going on 7 months now. Strict. I have cheated one time in 7 months in my son's graduation. For high school, he had this beautiful chocolate cake. And I was like, oh, I've got to have it. I just couldn't stop fixating on it. And I was like, I'm just going to cut a little sliver and I'm just going to eat a little bit of it. I was doubled over in pain within 5 minutes of ingesting that cake. And it was the tiniest sliver. And so in 7 months, I've only cheated one time. And people are like, oh my gosh, don't you want other food? And I'm like, well, no, because if I have other food, like I think I told you when you and I first met, food is my medicine. Food is not there for fun. It's not there to entertain me. It's not there for any of that. Food is my medicine. Everything that goes in my mouth is healing my body. And if it's not going to heal my body, I'm not going to put it in my mouth. Having said that, I do drink coffee still. But I went to Purity, which is a brand that checks for all of the bad stuff and makes sure, you know, but I mean, I'm doing the best I can do. I don't use any skin products. It's not tallow anymore. Everything is clean. I have no chemicals that go on my body or in my body. So when people want to judge, they can judge all they want, but I know that I have no chemicals in my body and I'm being clean. It's hard when people, but it's not hard because I'm like, well, you do you and I'll do me, but let me teach you why I'm doing this.
Yeah. It's hard when you know the truth and they don't understand it. It can get really frustrating. Like you said, you're not eating for entertainment. You're eating for medicine. You're eating for your health. You're eating for sustenance, which, by the way, every other species of the millions of species on this planet, they all do it and they all thrive and they're all healthy and none of them have autoimmune disorders or heart disease or cancers. It's only us humans that stray from that. And for some reason, when you and I, Renee, stray from that, we're the weird ones as we're thriving. So everything's like, that's the interesting thing with carnivore, right? It's you start realizing how inverted all of reality is and everything's just backwards from what it should be. It's kind of crazy.
You don't see wild animals sitting around a dinner table eating dinner and talking to each other. We are the only species that takes food and creates events around food.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Every once in a while, I have craved one thing since I went on carnivore, and that is pineapple. I lived in Hawaii up until 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, and I would be standing at Costco, and I would go by the pineapples, and I could smell them, and I'd be like, oh, I miss pineapple. And it would be like in and out. It didn't even stay. And the other really great thing that I would love to touch on is my addictions. So yeah. I started smoking when I was 14. And I have been, I was one to three drink a day since I was in my 20s. So 20 years, 30 years of smoking, 20 years of that. I crave nothing. Like I never thought that I would get to a point in my life where I could say 100%. I don't ever crave nicotine anymore. I don't ever crave cigarettes anymore. I don't crave, there's nothing in me that wants them anymore.
That's so interesting. Like, I've interviewed so many carnivores and I hear that from others. And actually next month, at the end of this month, we're interviewing Dr. Georgia Ead for the documentary. And because of that, and now because of you reminding me, that's one of the big questions I have for her is, what is up with this addiction? Because everyone that does carnivore, they get rid of all their addictions. Like Todd Bachness, I interviewed, and he's like, I was addicted to diet soda, got rid of that. I was addicted to chewing tobacco. He's like, I just don't want it anymore. It's right. Really kind of amazing how all of those go away. It's really liberating too, right? Like not having anything. Like you're in total control right now, whereas those addictions were a little bit of control here. They're kind of steering your path.
Yeah, it's all about me now. It truly is. It's all about me. Our chemical, once our brain starts feeding on the fat and not on sugar and not on other things, our receptors change. And those receptors are what lead your addictions because they want them, right? And so I'm reading Dr. Edie's book right now. I think she's absolutely amazing. And I wish that what I would love to see is I'd love to see the VA and I would love to see the military take on this stance because of the depression and the suicide rate that's happening with veterans and with our active duty service people. I wish that they would look at it because how much of that PTSD and how much of that depression and how much of all that stuff, how much could be healed? Like just by changing your diet.
Right. We talked about this a little bit before. I'm with you 100%. I've interviewed three veterans now that all had horrible depression, anxiety, and PTSD, like suicidal depression. The one man, his name is Arn, he just turned 80 and he found carnivore at 79. And he said for the first time in decades, he said, I have no dark episodes. I have no depression. And I'm happy for the first time in decades. And this guy is a veteran that served our country. And he's just a really cool, awesome guy. So he actually wrote a book about it. And he's going to the VA. He holds meetings and he's behind your message, Renee, 100%. And then I interviewed two other people as well. Just real quick for people that are watching the documentary we're doing, we're also doing a series afterwards. And after talking to Arn and Carnivore Soldier Larry and Combat Carnivore Chad and Renee as well, I'm like, we need to do a whole episode, maybe a couple episodes on mental health for service men and women. It's so great. The stats, I think we were talking about this before, that more servicemen and women die by their own hands. I think it's four times as many die by their own hands from suicide than they do in service. That should be like front page news. That is incredible.
It's sad. My son in the military, they do wellness checks on them. They check in with them to see how they're doing because they don't want to miss something. But my question at that point is, well, what are you doing when you find somebody who has a problem?
Right.
Because you're just going to put them on medication.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm not saying that medicine is all bad. Like that's not the point. But what if instead of that you could say, hey, we're going to send you to this coach, and this coach is going to help you make some lifestyle changes, and in those lifestyle changes, you might actually have all of this go away.
Right. Yeah. Give them some hope and something they can do themselves, because that's the other part too. I think when you're in the service, and this is what Arn was telling me, a lot of people don't want to. There's a stigma around, oh, I have a mental health issue. There's also the just not wanting to ask for help. There's also like, hey, this could be your career that you're messing with, going to talk to someone that, oh, I have this issue. Well, there's something wrong with me. That could affect your career sort of thing. And this is something anybody can do by themselves.
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
I get that question from people a lot. What doctor can I find that will help me do this? Renee luckily found a doctor that happens to be carnivore. That's kind of rare. It's awesome. But I always tell people, I mean, I didn't have a doctor. Like, it would have been great if I would have like Dr. Hampton or Dr. Barry or someone like that to help me. But it's just, I was eating whatever I wanted to eat before without a doctor telling me. I'm eating whatever I want to eat now, but I'm eating the proper things now. So you don't, that's the cool part of it, I think, for servicemen and women that don't necessarily want to ask for help. You don't necessarily have to. You could just change your diet and change what you're doing yourself and the controls in your hand. We were talking about this before, but it just puts a big smile on my face thinking about this. Imagine if the army, for example, just said, we're going to feed everyone mostly animal-based. It'd be incredible. It'd be absolutely incredible. You could have like half the enrollment rates and you'd still be just fine. Like, people would be doing twice as much work.
Super soldiers.
Yeah. Next level, like an army of Dr. Baker and Dr. Chafee's running around. Are you kidding me? It'd be crazy. I thought about that too, for just companies. Like, if you had a company that was all carnivore too, because it's not just the physical part of it and having more energy and all of that. It's the mental part and not having that brain fog anymore. Be able to have more energy and make faster, quicker, wiser decisions. It's like all the downstream effects of that are pretty incredible. So, I'm with you 100% on that. You get into like what we're feeding servicemen and women, and then you get into what we're feeding our children in schools. That's the other reason I'm so passionate about this too, like healing people. And then you think about the most vulnerable in our society, that elderly and the children. And it seems to me like the more I'm doing this, oh, well, that was one of the questions I had for you, Renee. So you were a nurse for 21 years. What kind of trends did you see over the years in terms of like the general health of humanity?
It sucks and it's getting worse. The one thing I look at is the obesity rate. If you were to ask me, I was at a small hospital in Hawaii, a huge population of people who eat rice with every meal, and a lot of carbs and a lot of starch and a lot of sugar. If you ask me what we treated on a daily basis, I would tell you that we treated CHF and diabetes, cellulitis due to obesity. And I wouldn't tell you that we treated traumas. I believe hospitals should treat trauma and they should treat acute illnesses. I do not think I think that if everybody was on the right diet, we would not have to have half of the hospitals and half of the inpatient beds that we have. If people were just doing the right thing. So in my 21 years, I started in pediatrics I didn't do a whole lot of adults, but in the time that I have been in adults, I've seen it just get worse and worse, more and more cancer. More and more sickness. People are just not done. And you know, I get really tired of doing below the knee amputations on diabetics and, you know, you just see it all the time. And those are reversed. Like you don't have to get there.
Right.
You don't have to. My husband, I'll give him props. He was the one that brought me to carnivore. He started at 212 pounds. He's down to 172 this morning.
Nice.
And he's off his metformin. No issues with his sugars. And his energy levels are coming back up. He's feeling better. Depression is going away. We're like two new people. We call this the season of Renee and Nathan. Kids are all gone and we have a new home and this is our time now. And carnivore is giving us that time. We wouldn't be able to do this if we were eating an American standard diet. We wouldn't be where we're at.
You're just getting started. That is so awesome to hear that. We're going to be interviewing Tammy Peterson for a documentary. And I was just watching a video she did. And she was saying, me and Jordan, we sit up in bed at night sometimes and we just whisper to each other, I think we're getting younger. Like, what is going on here? We feel like 20 years younger. That's what everyone on carnivore says too. And it's like, you see it. And again, it's probably how everyone would be if we were eating properly from the get-go, but it's crazy. Like, I really believe most humans should be living well into their 100s, and we're all just dying at 70. And like you said, people getting limbs amputated, which, what is the root cause of that? The food they're eating that they shouldn't be eating. People are eating food that are causing them to have their limbs amputated, or that are literally causing them to become blind from the food they're eating. It's so crazy. And people are just like, oh, just, I like my food too much. I'm just going to get my foot cut off. Like, what? What is going on?
Well, and we're seeing a huge increase in dementia. And America being the only country who doesn't admit that dementia is from insulin resistance in the brain. We're seeing, I can't believe how many dementia patients we have in the hospital these days. And to know that you can reverse that and that you don't even have to get there. Like, I think that that's one of the best things I can say as a carnivore. My chances of getting dementia are very slim. Yeah. I don't have the gene for Alzheimer's. So what would cause dementia if I don't have insulin resistance in my brain? Dementia is one of the worst things when you watch somebody die from that.
Mm.
It's awful to lose who you are, to forget how to eat, to forget how to do all of that stuff. And to think it's reversible, or that you don't even have to get there. I mean,
I love that you said that, because Renee, one thing I worry about with some people, and it sounds like you have it figured out, but some people will do this. They'll heal whatever they were attempting to heal. And then they have the inclination to kind of, well, now I can just moderate, or I can go back. Like you said, you're eating this way because it's your medicine and it healed you. But I've also had that mindset shift where I'm like, wait a minute. Now I'm not really worried about dementia. I'm not really worried about heart disease. I'm not really worried about cancer. I could get any of those things. I definitely could. But I believe the odds of getting those are drastically reduced. Most of those are from insulin resistance or chronic inflammation for years and years and decades and decades. You do it long enough, you end up with mitochondrial damage. You end up with cancer. You end up with all of these sort of downstream things. Even just the number of people I have talked to in their 70s and 80s doing carnivore would blow people's minds. I still don't believe it. One of the first videos I did was with an older gentleman doing carnivore for like 5 years. And I don't know if that's the reason why, but I get comments all the time. So many people doing it, and they all say the same thing. They're like, people that say, oh, I'm just getting old. It sucks to get old, so I have mobility issues. Of course, you're going to slow down when you get older, but everyone I've interviewed, the majority of them, they're all like, 99% of it's just inflammation. Just people are eating the wrong food, and they're inflamed, and then they're arthritic, and they're hunched over, and they have all these mobility issues. And it's just they're like, I see all my peers doing it, and they're all eating the junk food sort of thing. So it's kind of good. It's like hopeful for the future that you don't have to worry about those things. I encourage people, when you have a why for doing carnivore, you should evolve that why to sort of a longer term one once you heal things. One question I had for you, Renee, what do you think initially caused all of your health issues? Do you think it was just a fluke, or was it genetics, or was it diet, or do you know?
So I have two first cousins, sister and brother, that both have MS. My mom has scleroderma. Both of my sisters have some autoimmune issues. Like, our family has just played with it. So they've gone back to wondering whether when my grandfather had my aunt and my mom, he was working in a uranium mine. So they're wondering whether whether he got exposed and that went into genetics. I can go down the rabbit hole, my conspiracy theories. I had the complete series of anthrax vaccines when I was in the military. Not very long after that, I developed a facial spasm, which I treat right now still with Botox because it hasn't gotten any better. I had that, and then it just kept going. And then I got another autoimmune disease. So the question was, I exposed to something. And the military is starting to link anthrax vaccines with autoimmune diseases. So that's when they first started linking Agent Orange, it took a while for them to get it all going. So it's starting, and they're working at that. Sometimes it's just luck. I have always been this ever since I became an adult. I've always done every diet. I tell you, I have been on the Whole30, and I have done pescatarian, I have done Mediterranean, and I have done all of it. And the only one that I actually felt really good on was Atkins, which is pretty darn close to living a carnivore life. I don't ever want to go back. I won't go back. Why would I risk my illness getting worse again? And especially if I get to the point, I have been told that within 2 years, all my nerves should be able to be healed and all of my strength will come back and I will have no pain anymore. If that, I'm going to get there. This is not a diet. This is my life.
I'm glad you said that too, because that was the other thing. I remember Dr. Chafee telling me that earlier. He's like, oh, you're just starting, Kerry, like around day 60 or something. But what you just said about repairing the nerves, like after 2 years, there's that. And then something, this is still an area where there's a lot of research to be done. I think we just know very little bit about it. But what happens to your gut health and healing your gut bacteria? There's certain gut bacteria that dies off after, say, 30 days on a carnivore diet, and people start to notice things because of that. And then there's more at 6 months. And then there's like a big one at like 2 years that happens for a lot of people that have these advanced autoimmune disorders. I interviewed this woman, Malia. I just actually did another interview with her the other day because I had so many more follow-up questions. But I believe like gut health is, I think we know maybe 2% of, it's kind of like the human brain where they say we understand like just a small percentage of what's going on there. I think the same is true for our gut health and a lot of our health issues, a lot of disease, they've been saying this for thousands of years, starts in the gut. So when you kill off of that gut bacteria and your good gut bacteria starts flourishing after a couple of years, it's, for me, that's in the back of my head too. I'm like, I kind of want to see what's going to happen like at 2 years. Like, I feel so good now. I don't know how I feel kind of greedy wanting to feel any better, but I want to like optimize as best as possible for the long term.
It makes you anxious. Like, I want to fast forward. I don't, because I'm enjoying my life right now and I want to be here and I want to be in the present. For the first time in my entire life, I want to be right here, right now. I don't want to be there or there. I want to be right here. And so, like, yeah, I want to fast forward to 2 years. I want to see what I'm going to feel like in 2 years.
Right.
I'll get there. One day at a time, right? But you're right. I just can't wait. People say it gets better and better. And, I'm on 1200 milligrams of gabapentin 3 times a day, which is the max adult dose. And I know that the brain fog, I still live in some brain fog because of that med. I'm going to start the weaning process, but it takes 18 months to wean off that med. So it's going to take me a long time to get that out of my system and to get off of that medication. So like, I have the best is still to come because my brain fog will get better and better and better still.
Yeah, absolutely. So another question I had for you was, well, we ask everyone this as part of the documentary. Documentary's name is Healing Humanity. You touched on this a little bit more, but I have to officially ask it. Does humanity need healing?
Absolutely, humanity needs healing. And I think what you're doing is phenomenal. And I am so proud to A, know you, and B, be a part of your Healing Humanity. Being a part of the community and doing all of that. I think that what you're doing is going to help, and what Dr. Baker is doing, everybody's getting out there and the word is getting out there and it's becoming more, it's talked about, and your documentary is going to get it out there. I have to be honest. I became a vegan because of the documentary Forks Over Knives. Things like that start the momentum in people. But there's never been something that's been so healing like carnivore is. Nothing can compare to this.
Right.
And I'm saying that as a nurse, nothing that I've ever taught my patients, nothing that I've ever done personally, and I've done them all, has done what this has done.
Has this given you any, we have these sort of brain clarity or, carnivore realizations, epiphanies? Have you had any of those? Like, whoa, I kind of see the world a little bit differently now.
The saddest thing is what I see is how sick everybody else is. When I see people sitting in a restaurant. So we like to go to Texas Roadhouse. It's a good place to get a steak when we're shopping. And I just look around at people and they're all eating meat, right? We're a steakhouse, but they're eating everything else that comes with that meat. And they're so sick. You just look at people and the metabolic diseases, you know, that's the one thing is looking at people and just thinking, oh my gosh, you know how much metabolic disease you have in your body? Do you know how much inflammatory processes? And you could easily heal. So yeah, humanity needs healing. And I think the only way that we're going to be able to do it is to support our ranchers and farmers, because that's a scary part of the whole supply chain and everything that, that is being talked about. And to share it with everybody. And hopefully people will start listening. I love that the government is starting to, there's some things happening, and hopefully that keeps the momentum going.
Yeah.
We do need to heal, and we're the sickest country in the world. We are by far the sickest country, and the ingredients in our foods are so much worse than any other country's ingredients in their foods. And it's just phenomenal to look at same exact foods, but sold in two different countries, how many different ingredients we put in ours here. And it's because my conspiracy theory, they want people sick, because that's where the money comes from. Money comes from sick people, not from healthy people.
Yeah. I'm with you 100%. Like, it sounds crazy to the outsider, but I don't feel like there's one evil dude up there saying, like, let's get them all sick. But I just feel like every single financial incentive and little optimization and tweak throughout the years and years and years and years,
yep,
ends up with more and more money the sicker and sicker we get. And this is where we end up, where everyone is so sick and addicted. That's another thing that should be all over the news, what you just mentioned, too. You look at, like, Mountain Dew in the United States versus Canada or the UK. There's, like, all sorts of just poisons and dyes and stuff in it. They're literally illegal in other places. And we're like, oh, in America, it's just fine. And people just drink it like it's nothing. And then they look at you and me because we're eating meat. And we're the crazy ones.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. And you know what? I will be crazy for the rest of my life if that's what it takes.
Right?
But I want people to know that you can heal, that you can get better, that it will get that there is hope. That's the biggest thing, you know, living life without hope, and joy. I haven't had joy in my life in a long time. And I will tell you that I have joy. I have refound my happiness, and, this carnivore Zen, I love the carnivore Zen. We moved 5 animals over here from Hawaii. So it took a lot of work, and my dad and stepmom came to Hawaii to help us fly the animals. And my stepmom kept looking at me. She's like, how are you not nervous or crazy? Or like, you are just like all calm. How can you be so calm? And I'm like, well, what is there not to be calm about? And she's like, no, you should be freaking out. I'm like, about what? What should I be freaking out about? I was like, if you would just eat meat, you would not be freaking out either.
Right.
Truly, you find this new place. I can't remember what book it was reading. And I don't know if it was Dr. E's book. It said something about, we were born in ketosis.
Yeah.
And that is our natural state. And we should always, always, always be in ketosis, because that is the natural state of a human being.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Babies are born into ketosis, and then we give them this junk and we change them over to eat this garbage. And we've literally, like, humanity has been eating meat and in ketosis the entire span of time. It's just this little sliver that we haven't, that where everyone's like, Renee and Carrie are crazy. They should be eating a balanced diet with all these carbohydrates that were never accessible. They weren't even available to humans before this. It's so backwards. That whole, the carnivore Zen and not stressing out too. I often think about how much I stressed out before and what a toll that had to take on my body. Blood pressure just going through the roof, heart beating. Like, it's literally taking years off of people's lives. This constant stress that we had as humans in earlier times, because we were getting chased by a lion in the woods or something. Like, there was a reason for it. And now we're just stressing every single day. People are stressing about, oh, the phone rang, I'm stressed. Oh, I'm stressed because of the news. Oh, I'm stressed because of this. It's over and over and over again. It's so unnatural. That's my biggest realization on carnivore. I was working on a video yesterday just talking about, if you're doing a diet, any diet, you did all of them, Renee, I did too. You do a vegan diet, vegetarian diet, Weight Watchers diet, counting calories diet. If it feels at all, even just 1% unnatural, it's not the right diet for you. It's not going to work for you. You may lose 20 pounds, but you're going to gain it all back. And the reason is very simple, because it's not natural. That's like the biggest epiphany I had with carnivore. This is just natural. I'm not even thinking about it. Like, I'm not counting calories and using a little iPhone app to calculate stuff out. I just eat until I'm full. I don't have to count or think or do anything. By the way, which is what every other species on the planet does. They just eat their food and they don't have to think about it. That was my big epiphany on carnivore. It's like, it's just a natural way to eat. Like, it's very, very clear. And then your body goes back to its natural state, how it should be. Everything's just natural again. That was like, initially this whole documentary is all going to be about carnivore. Now it's more about, this is just natural. Like, this is returning to what is natural for humans, heals everything. That's all. We've escaped so far from what's natural. We got sicker and sicker. We get closer to it, and we heal, sort of thing. So my last question for you, I can't believe we've been talking for an hour already. Renee, what advice would you give to someone if they're thinking about doing a carnivore diet? They're suffering. They don't have hope. They have various different health issues, but they're scared to start carnivore. What advice would you give them?
Just do it. Like, there is no time like right now. We waited like 3 weeks because we wanted to eat the food that was in our, we didn't want to waste the food. Hindsight, I should have thrown all that food away, and I should have started the day that I decided I was going to do it. You start feeling better. Like, you start within days, you start to feel the difference. And so why would you not? I encourage people, you know, try it for 30 days. You know, you really need to give it 90 days. You really, really, for a really good go, you need to give it 90 days, but just do 30 days. What is 30 days in the grand scheme of your entire life? What is 30 days? And see what you feel like after 30 days. I guarantee you, you're not going to go back. Like, you won't. I won't. I will never go back to eating any other way. And everybody's like, well, once you heal, are you going to put vegetables back in? I'm like, for what?
Right.
What do I need them for? I don't need them. The cow puts all their vegetables in the meat, and then I eat the meat. So I'm getting all those vitamins and minerals. And I think that educating people on that is a really huge thing, because people are like, well, how are you going to get all your vitamins and all this? And I'm like, well, it's really easy. The cow ate the vegetables. Then the cow puts those in their meat, and then you get them. Like, it's the circle of life. And so I will be just like you, Carrie. I don't know about having a YouTube channel, but we'll be spreading the word. You know, we can get better and we can heal. And you know what? It's one day at a time. Just eat meat today. And then tomorrow when you wake up, just eat meat again. And just keep eating meat. I mean, come on. I have a bacon pot, and I make 2 pounds of bacon at a time. And just leave it sitting on the counter. And all I do is munch on bacon all day. I mean, can you have a better life than that?
Right. Right. I know people that say, oh, don't you get sick of meat? Like, what do you mean? Like, eating the best food in the world, like ribeyes and steaks. I remember when I was little, my parents would go out like once a year for a steak dinner. I'm like, I'm eating steak and bacon and meat and the best stuff all the time. I haven't gotten sick. I'm on day 560 right now, I think. And I'm not just saying, like, I don't get sick. I really am not sick of it. People can't understand it until you do it, but it's a mind shift change. I literally look forward to every meal, but it's not an addiction like it used to be. It's more of a kind of an appreciation. I'm so happy you shared your story, Renee. You're going to inspire a lot of people. I think that's the best way to get the word out, too, is to people are going to resonate with your story and your health issues and things that you went through. You'll see. We'll get a whole bunch of comments on here. So you don't have a YouTube channel. You are on Instagram though, right? Is there anywhere else people can find you or follow you?
Just on Instagram right now. Rebecca keeps telling me I need a YouTube channel. I don't know that I have enough to talk about for a YouTube channel, but I will gladly, I've been invited to a couple of the podcasts, but I wasn't going to do any of them until I did yours first. So,
oh, that's so nice.
But anybody can find me on Instagram. I have talked to people with MS, and you know, people are hesitant, and I just tell them, you got to start somewhere. You can heal, so you don't get to eat cake and popcorn and pizza for the rest of your life. Would you rather walk or I mean, that's how I look at it. I would rather be healthy, be able to walk, not have pain. And food is just food. It's my medicine. I'm going to always say that. One ribeye a day keeps the doctor away. That's one of my hashtags.
Love it.
And it's true.
Absolutely. Awesome. So everyone can find Renee at Eating Meat to Walk on Instagram, and I'll have a link in the description for that. And I hope you go on a bunch of other channels too, because seriously, like, the more we can spread the word, the better. And I know your story is going to inspire so many people. So I really appreciate you sharing it and being a part of our healinghumanity.life group as well. And I look forward to talking to you more for the documentary series when we do the veteran servicemen and women mental health portion of it. So thank you so much, Renee. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Have an amazing day.
You too. Bye.
All right, bye.